JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Stassen, alongside Jeff Worthing, and welcome to the annual East-West Bowl as we get ready to watch some of the best college players in the nation.
That's right, Dave. It does seem like the most flamboyant personalities came to the forefront, and they are here. Let's meet the players from the East.
DeMarcus Williams, University of Georgia.
T.J. Jackson, Wayne State University.
Tavarius Smith King, Merrimack College.
Todd Royal Smoochie Wallace, University of Miami.
Desquarius Green Jr., University of Notre Dame.
Ibrahim Moizus, University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Jack Marius Tack Theratrix, Michigan State University.
The Isaiah T. Billings Clive, Coastal Carolina University.
The Jasper Probenkruk III, South Carolina State University.
Leos Maxwell Jillions, East Carolina University.
Javarison Lamar, University of Middle Tennessee.
Devoyne Showerhandle, University of Southern Mississippi.
Hingle McCringleberry, Penn State University.
Le Carpetron Duke Marriott, Florida Atlantic University.
Jadinkalich Morgan, University of South Florida.
X-Miss Jackson Flaxen Waxen, California University of Pennsylvania.
Now let's meet the players from the West.
Vegetariat Jeffers Ben, Texas A&M.
DeGlester Hadunkachud, University of Wisconsin.
Swervathan L. Gooding Splat, Saskatchewan University.
Quatrevo, San Jose State University.
Ajima Taz Buckshank, Stanford University.
Visa 12 Washing Beard, Jones College.
Shakira Kwan TGIF Carter, University of Northern Arizona.
X Wayne at Aliciousness, Missouri Western State University.
Sequester Grundle Plith MD, Adams State.
Scoise Velociraptor Malois, South Dakota State University.
TJAJRJ / 4th the 5th, Albion College.
San Diego State University.
Donkey Teeth, Boise State University.
Torque, Lewis, Nevada State Penitentiary.
The player formerly known as Mouse Cop, University of Missouri, Columbia.
Dan Smith, BYU.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Personal file. 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Well, we're not going to have any of that, are we? How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. It is Friday, February 10th, 2023. Five days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. But we got a little football game to play on Sunday. And welcome to our Super Bowl special. Get that rolling here in just a couple of seconds. A couple of other things. We've got Saturday and Sunday, Taste the Soulard. And then the Pet Parade, sunny and 55, by the way, on Sunday afternoon. That Key and Peele thing I just played at the beginning of the podcast. I don't know. I just come apart when I hear that. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And then the video that goes along with it, if you haven't seen it, oh my God. I'll probably watch it again about a half a dozen times between now and Sunday, and I'll laugh just as hard every time. Don't forget now, this is the final day that the podcast is being released, between 7 and 7:30. Starting on Monday, it'll be released at 11 o'clock. That is because starting Monday, I'm going to start fiddling with our new radio station. And I would think that by the middle or end of next week, should be in full tilt as far as the new morning show is concerned at 101.5 FM to join the existing signal out in the Westplex at 101.7. But we're adding 101.5 in St. Louis County. If you go there now, you'll be very disappointed because there's nothing there because we haven't turned it on yet. We're going to be turning it on probably Sunday or Monday. And then we will start to explain to you what's going to be happening on this station. But I think you are going to love it. Anyhow, back to the big game. Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and the Eagles, Rihanna. And that is the correct pronunciation we're being told now. It's Rihanna, sort of like Rihanna. And people have been saying Rihanna all these years. Anyhow, she's doing the halftime show. Chris Stapleton doing the national anthem. Babyface doing America the Beautiful. And Cheryl Lee Ralph will perform Lift Every Voice and Sing, as opposed to the NFL Network's Michael Irvin, who will be performing Lift Every Voice and Post Bail. And it's okay to laugh at this if you want, but yesterday at a news conference, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, Roger Goodell says the league's officiating has never been better. Well, speaking of those officials, let's go to comedian Richard Jenny to kick off our Super Bowl podcast special here at JCOnTheLine.com.
Even the referee in football has his own microphone, so he can humiliate the football players when they break a rule. They stop the entire game so the referee can press a button on his belt, activate a giant sound system, point the guy out on television just to embarrass him in front of his mom and everybody else that might be watching. They stop the whole game. Here's the ref. The reason we stopped, the reason we're all hanging around out here in the snow not doing anything right now is because some people don't seem to know the rules. Isn't that right? Number 71. 71. I hope your mother's watching. Can't blame the referee, though. It's human nature. Let's say you were a football ref in the NFL. An ordinary guy, 65 or 70 years old. You're not making the big millions of bucks like the football players, but you got one thing they don't have, a button right on the belt. And all you got to do is click it on, and for the first time in your whole boring life, the entire nation is hanging on every word that comes out of your mouth. If I was him, I'd stop the game every 5 minutes just to talk about my own personal problems. Wouldn't you, if you were him, I'd be going, there was no penalty. This has nothing to do with the game, the players, or the National Football League. I need to talk. I can't keep this up anymore. I feel like a fraud out here. Sure, I'm the ref, but who am I to judge these players? I mean, look at some of the choices I've made in my own life, for God's sake. 62 years old and I'm a freaking referee. I gotta lie down. I gotta tell you something. I'll be honest, lots of times when I'm out here, I'm not even thinking about football. My wife's getting fat as a mobile home. I love my kids, but if I had to do it again, I'd wear a condom. Just all goes by so fast in life, doesn't it? One minute you're in high school, the next minute you're watching your prostate like a hawk. Anybody who says these are the golden years can kiss my wrinkled butt, Buster. I got hair growing out of my ears, for God's sake. I got cataracts the size of ashtrays. I got to pee every 5 minutes. I walk into a room and I go, what the hell did I come in this room for anyway? Got that goddamn arthritis in my shoulder. I wake up in the morning. Takes me a half an hour just to find my eyeglasses, just so I can look for my teeth to tell my wife to find my hair. I don't know, maybe I'm just blowing smoke. You know what's really bothering me? I just kind of feel like I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I mean it. Did you ever dress up in your wife's panties when nobody's home? Boy, you give me a pair of thong panties and some perfume, I am one happy ref. The hell with football. Well, thanks for listening. I better get back to the game now. First down. All right, there you go. Thanks.
It's coming to the Gay Channel.
What is it?
It's the second annual male group orgy competition.
And he hits the hole right after Jesse opens it up.
With your hosts, John Madden and Pat Summerall.
And then everyone's kind of slopping around down there and grunting and groaning. And, you know, you get mud and stuff flying and gang tackles and scrums and quagmires.
No femmes, fats, or hairies. Just the hunkiest gay studs in wild group action competition.
Like the pack that guy around. time, too.
Don't get carried away, John.
There was all kinds of stuff flying around there.
It's male group sex to die for, as described by the best play-by-play team in the biz.
Yeah, that was a late one. That one didn't come and didn't come and didn't come, and finally they threw it out of there. Whoop. I don't know where that one came from. Look at that big old beaten lob. Oh, what a meal those guys are having.
That look good.
That's a good group.
If you go nuts for tight butts,
you push, you push, you push.
Get Gay-Per-View today.
You just rode him backwards.
You just put him right on his back.
With Pat Summerall and John Madden.
That looked like it was the last shot out of the Roman candle. I mean,
the second annual male group orgy competition on Gay-Per-View.
I'd like to pack that guy around, too.
Floyd?
Yeah. He's going to fire into his guy right here.
Call 1-800-HEY-CUTIE to order today.
We're ninth in the league in pass defense. We give up four touchdowns the last three games. You don't write that. All right? You know, I never see you guys write that. We got fourth in the league in turnovers. We got three turnovers. You say you don't write that stuff. So you always write the negative stuff. We'll write some positive stuff once in a while. You know, give these guys credit. We're fighting as best we can to stop the run, and we're going to keep working at it. That's all I can tell you.
Mark Bulger is our quarterback. Mark Bulger is our quarterback. Yibbit. Mark Bulger is our quarterback. Yibbit. Yibbit. Mark Bulger is our quarterback. Okay? I thought I explained that last week. I thought that the way that Mark came back really clearly, in my mind, established himself with me as our quarterback.
What about those guys that always pull that military patent crap? Today, men, we are going to war. Yeah, war, except the fact that we get to take showers after we play about 2 hours and go home and have drinks with our friends. Other than that, it's war. I mean, of course, the fact that none of us are going to get killed today unless we get shot outside the stadium by some berserk fan. But it's war in another kind of way, in a kind of way where we would like war to be, but it really isn't. Other than that, it's war.
Move, Dick.
Football, I have a good idea for football. I think all 45 players should be allowed to play at the same time. Just let them get in there. What's this stuff standing around watching the game? Put on a helmet, get in there, and hurt someone. You know what I mean? Here's another thing. In football, I would leave the injured on the field. Yes. Leave them out there.
I did a sketch on the NFL on Fox this year, which was about Kurt and Brenda Warner. You know, I wasn't doing it to be mean. I just do it. This is just this. You know,
here's a guy that doesn't do it to be mean. He just does it to make money.
But we did Jim Rome.
Yes. And it was, it's just amazing. You're dead on with him,
it's
too.
Incredible. What a ridiculous idea. Doing a Jim Rome impression. Jeez. Supposed to be interviewing Kurt Warner. He wasn't there. Brenda Warner was. Phenomenal. Now I'm going to pause for no reason. And I'm back. Great pause. We have a call from George in D.C. Wait a second. He's in Crawford. George in Crawford. Go ahead. Yeah, Jim. Thanks for the van. We have found the weapons of mass destruction, but they're all invisible. Great call. Whack him.
Here's a guy who knows how to keep on talking.
I can't believe he didn't even do his Chris Rock impression. I was waiting for that the entire time.
Listen, we don't always have time for Chris Rock. We try to, but
just say the end.
He doesn't want to say the end. He wants to keep on going.
Why is he doing this? He hasn't even done Adam Sandler yet.
I would like to say something for you.
He starts to zig, and just when you think he's going to zag, whoa! He zigs again. Yeah, what he does is he goes off on a tangent. You know what a tangent is?
Yeah, I love tangerines. They're my favorite fruits. What do you think, Bill? I love melons. I love squeezing them.
I do. Well, this has been weird. I even can't even keep up here, you know?
Wow. We're all up. Wait, by the way, I'm fine now with gay marriages. As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman. Okay, woman marrying again.
Here's a guy still trying to do bits, and they're trying to go to break. What is going on here?
As we mentioned earlier, this Sunday is Super Bowl 39 between the Philadelphia Eagles of my hometown and the New England Patriots
of my hometown. That's right. Of my hometown, Burlington, New England.
So we thought it would be fun to have a little hometown fans point counterpoint. Amy has elected to go first.
Thank you, Tina. If you think your Eagles are any match for our top-notch New England Patriots, you're a moron.
OK,
Okay, don't even start, all right? Because everybody knows New England people are a bunch of losers. You went down there losers, and you're going home losers.
All right. You know what? Give me a break. We're unstoppable. It's our year. First the Red Sox, now the Super Bowl. Okay, you can go cry in a pile of Philly cheesesteaks and watch that gay movie they named after your city.
Okay, rebuttal. First of all, your whole city smells like baked bean farts. Second of all, how do you even have time to go to the Super Bowl? Aren't you too busy getting molested by priests and crying about it?
Good point. Point well taken, but let me just say this. Your mother's a whore and your father holds the money.
You dirtbag!
This has been Hometown Fans Point Counterpoint.
The category of top 10 Super Bowl moments. This is the top 10 Super Bowl moments. If you didn't get a chance to see the entire game, here now we have condensed and coalesced for you the top 10 Super Bowl moments.
Great.
Here we go, number 10. A bored John Madden puts Pat Summerall's head in his mouth. Number 9. Victorious New England players dump scalding clam chowder on coach. Number 8. Security officers frisk Rams cheerleaders for half an hour. Number 7. My mom chugged a beer every time the Patriots scored. Number 6. Halftime musical number performed by the Camp X-Ray detainees. Number 5. Drunk, desperate Kenneth Lay steals commemorative coin used in opening toss. Enron CEO. Number 4, caught off guard, NFL makes Patriots championship hats out of newspapers. Number 3, for once, a sporting event that doesn't end up with Mike Tyson biting somebody. Some say he should be barred for life. Number 2, my Jumbotron marriage proposal to Britney Spears. And the number 1 Super Bowl moment, rambling phone call to winning locker room from Osama bin Laden. There you go.
$50.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But you see, Lisa, your mother has this crazy idea that gambling is wrong, even though they say it's okay in the Bible.
Really? Where?
Somewhere in the back.
You gotta work, work.
You gotta work.
You gotta work, work.
With 4 minutes left, it looked like the storybook season might finally end.
You can start to hear it maybe in the background, like, okay, if we don't win this game, it's still a great year. Just as that thought came into my head, I see Kurt loft one over to the corner. Well, here's Isaac and Torrey looking at it. And there's Marshall out of the backfield looking at the pass, and I'm like, well, he's throwing it away. It's going to no one. Prohl?
What a time. What a time to do it. Ricky Prohl, no touchdown catches all year.
Ricky caught the game-winning touchdown pass to put us into the Super Bowl. You don't ride it any better.
The St. Louis Rams are Super Bowl bound. You gotta love it.
The Rams had taken a long road to a Super Bowl berth, but they knew their journey was not yet complete.
They have a great fond memories of listening to you do football games. Your voice was so calming, so soothing, but yet you were in the middle of a game that was so violent and all. And I don't know, I guess the contrast just seemed to work. And I also thought that you seemed to be the first guy, if not the first, one of the first, to let the analysts be more of a player in the broadcast than the play-by-play guy. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think when I first started, and I was an analyst to begin with, when I first started, the analyst didn't have the weapons that he has now. There was no such thing as instant replay. You couldn't go back and review. If you thought the official made a mistake, he made a mistake. And you just, there was no means that the analyst now has. And it was more regimented at that time. When I first started to work as an analyst, and let's say I was working with Jack Buck, it was sort of an unwritten law that when the team broke the huddle, that time belonged to the play-by-play man. And he described what was happening, the action, until the ball was dead, until the play was over. And then while the team was in the huddle, that was the analyst's time. And that was sort of the way it was regimented. As the analyst got more tools, the instant replay, the isolated cameras, the drawing on the screen, what have you, then the analysts need more time. And that's what's happened, I think. The play-by-play man has become less of a part of the broadcast than the analyst. It's an analyst-oriented broadcast now, I think.
You guys have that little mini field, and usually about halfway through the show, you guys will all get up and you'll demonstrate, for example, like a particular blocking technique or something. Tell me what happened that time when Terry Bradshaw ended up flat on his ass.
I'll tell you what happened is he is always poking at me physically. You know, just a little jab here, a little jab there. And being big has its responsibility. You have a certain responsibility to kind of be judicious in your onslaught, if you would. And you take it. And he's always talking about, kick your big butt. So that one time, I mean, what happened was JB was playing quarterback and he was playing center. We were going over, I think it was John Randall. We were talking about John Randall at the time. And while he was turned around talking to JB, I looked into the camera and said, watch this, I'm going to knock him on his rear end. And he was shocked. When the back of his head hit the ground, and he just called me a big bully. And, you know, we haven't had a problem since then.
When you were a young man, though, and they were paying you a lot of money to throw the football, and you know, all athletes waste money. They waste money. What's the stupidest thing you ever wasted money on back when you were just a kid?
Engagement rings. If I had all three of them back, I could buy a new horse today. And a good horse, I might add.
Terry, it seems to me like most of the athletes in the NFL these days are either born-again Christians or felons. It didn't seem like
the only time you're going to see an NFL player on a video is going to be on Cops.
Well, it wasn't like that when you played, though, was it?
Oh, I think it probably was. It just, we didn't have near the media coverage that we had. Don't forget, we had Ernie Holmes down here shooting helicopters, and we had our, you know, we had our problems.
Wait a minute.
The NFL had its problems.
Wait.
We didn't have the coverage, fellas, that they have today. I mean, today you scratch your nose and it's, you know, and you use the wrong hand and it's newsmaking.
Back up. Who was shooting helicopters?
Ernie Holmes shot at a helicopter coming down the turnpike in Ohio, right outside of Cleveland.
What did he do that for?
Well,
seemed like a good idea.
That's a question everybody wanted to know.
All right, Brian.
We couldn't get the answer to that, you know, and so Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. Good thing he didn't hit the fella.
1976, Terry Bradshaw put on an album called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can you give me a couple of bars of the big hit?
Sure.
The last word in Lonesome is me.
The last word in Lonesome is me. The last word in Lonesome is me. My heart is as lonely as a heart can be lonely. The last word in Lonesome is me.
Who yelled encore? Don't do this.
You didn't think I'd do that, did you?
Terry, what's the name of that new book again?
It's Only a Game.
Do you mind if I read a passage from it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, here
JC.
It is. Here it is, page 103. Slowly, I unbuttoned her blouse and nibbled on the tasty nectar.
No. Seeping. Wait a minute.
What are you into, Brad?
Don't do that. You are sick. You can't be doing that.
Let me get my
copy of that book out. same page. And when I jumped on top of my John Deere tractor and went skirting across the field, a whole flock of geese got right in my winder. Is that where you are?
I don't think so.
JC, you're sick.
All right. Terry Bradshaw.
Don't make me mad. I'll go on television. I'll just blast you guys.
It's Only a Game. Thanks, Terry.
I unbuttoned her blouse. Lord, help me. See you guys.
Bye.
See
ya.
The top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Are you ready? Top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Number 10, charging the hole. Number 9, splitting the uprights. Number 8, taking it deep. Number 7, getting deep penetration. Number 6, firing one into the tight end. Number 5, moving the chains. Number 4, number 4, going for 2. Number 3, punching it in. Number 2, being inside the red zone. And the top really bad football euphemism for sex. Coming from behind.
Today, NFC Championship Edition is sponsored by True Value Hardware Stores. True Value, more than just a name, it's our way of doing business. Xerox. And by Aladdin Stanley Thermos Bottles, the tough ones. From the CBS Sports Control in Tampa, Florida, here's Brent Musburger.
Welcome, everybody, to one of the most improbable sights in the rich history of championship events in this country. Only 4 years old, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the brink of going to the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Particularly during the 1970s, you guys were the only show in town. The NFL Today. You guys were superstars. And for a lot of people, they would probably recall you having really set the precedent, having invented the beast, so to speak, in terms of the NFL pregame show. Yourself, Jimmy the Greek, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. I guess I wouldn't be going out on a limb here to say that was probably the greatest days of your career. True?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because we were in on the beginning of something, and it was, like you said, the only game in town. So it was such a high-profile show. Which I came to realize probably in the middle of it, you know, in the middle of 70. I didn't realize it at first. I just thought it was just another show on television and sports fans would be interested.
Really? So it took you that long before you realized that people were walking around you know, it's like 11:25 and people would start getting the jitters if they weren't back from the supermarket.
Exactly.
The wife sent them out to get a quart of milk and a dozen eggs. It's 11:25. I'm going to miss that. Dun, 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 bum, with your names being thrust onto the screen and that theme music.
Yeah, those were great days for a pregame show. Now, everybody in the world has got a pregame show. So it's, you know, I watch all the shows, especially as we get closer to the playoffs. And there's so much more competition out there now, and they run them an hour. I can't imagine how sometimes, you know, like week four in the NFL season, how they get an hour out of a pregame show, because most of the time, the fan today, he wants the ball in the air. He's looking for action, and there's so much of it up there. Times have changed. I mean, the clicker is prevalent now. In those days, remote control was not even as prevalent as it is today. So therefore, they'd turn it in and they'd leave it there, you know.
And you also became the target of criticism because some sports fans were saying, well, this isn't about football, this is about entertainment. And of course, anybody who knows anything about what you do for a living knows that that's exactly what the National Football League wanted. It's exactly what the network wanted. They said, we got to open this up to more people. And so what if it's a little show business? So what?
Yeah, JC, the game of football at the professional level is one of the strongest, I would say, entertainment vehicles in this society. Now, certainly movies would be ahead of it. But I got to tell you something. It would be right up there in hot pursuit. When you think of the masses that enjoy professional football, look forward to the games on Sunday, and then Monday Night Football became such a happening, too. So you're exactly right. And the networks realized that, you know, and that's why we had Phyllis George there. That's why we had Jimmy the Greek there. We had things that were away from simply the X's and O's and the cornerbacks covering the wide receivers and that. And it was exciting. It was fun to be part of. You know, there's no question.
Did Jimmy the Greek get a rotten deal?
Yeah, I think so, JC. He got a rotten deal from the standpoint that I don't think he thought he was being racist when he issued those comments. It was certainly an area where Jimmy did not belong intellectually.
If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people. I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. The only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't you?
Oh, it's all right with me. Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon, too.
I mean, some very intelligent men have discussed that. Books have been written about it and things of that particular nature. But I think what should be pointed out is that he had burned so many bridges previously with our management that there was not that safety net to catch the Greek when he fell from the high wire. If a broadcaster who'd never had any difficulty with management stumbled into that particular venue, and I think for sure they would have saved the Greek. But in this instance, they just moved away and, you know, let him crash and burn, which was too bad. It was a bad time. And Greek never really recovered. You know, for some reason, he never was able after that to get over the bitterness or reestablish a foothold.
Let's go back to a night in Philadelphia in 1971. I've never heard this from you, and some strange things happened in the booth that night.
Sure, I was portrayed as a national drunk on air. Well, yeah. I've been all.
As I heard it, you got loaded and threw up on Frank Gifford.
No.
That's the way I heard it.
I threw up on Don Meredith.
Or on Don Meredith, right.
I would never throw up on Frank. No matter what my physical health, there's no way I'd impair the magnificence of those good looks and sartorial resplendence.
Splendor, right.
Come on, that's a joke. I was sick as a dog. I've suffered all my life almost from vertigo or labyrinthitis from time to time. I have a cold now. My ears are
stuffed,
loss of balance, sometimes thickness of speech. And that was the coldest night I've ever experienced in my life. I ran the track at Franklin Field to try to get warm that night with John Carlos, one of the two Black Power salute athletes, to try to get warm. I interviewed Ron Johnson before the game. Big Ron, number 30, then a great star with the Giants, though they were upset by a puerile Eagles team that night. And I really, really got hit by the bug. And it hit me, I think, as I recollect it, midway in the second quarter. I knew what the consequences would be. I fell into a taxi, take me to New York, got home to Emmy. My wife was terrified. About 3 in the morning, had calls from Klosterman, who was then at Baltimore before he joined UNLA with the Rams, Al Davis from Oakland, all my friends. But I was just sick as a dog, and I have no apologies to make for that.
What is the taxicab fare from Philadelphia to New York?
As far as I'm concerned, it's $92 because
was
that's
that
what
it was?
Man, that's what the man asked me for, and that's what he got.
I gave him, right. Let me stop for these announcements. We'll continue with Howard Cosell after these messages.
You're so talented.
In a recent interview, Christie Brinkley suggested that football players should have special gloves connected to lights on their helmets. That way, when they catch the ball, you'll know who has possession. Read these and other interesting ideas in Christie's new book, I'm an Idiot.
St. Louis Rams and the 63-year-old grandfather, champions of the NFL.
My dad had a really nice time today.
Me too, honey.
Can I watch football with you again next Sunday?
Sure, you'll find it gets rid of the unpleasant aftertaste of church.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.